Oops, I gotta turn my video on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the June 16th, 2025 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I'm gonna hand it over to Lauren to talk about some processes and procedures for tonight's meeting. Lauren.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also, use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lauren. Then I'm going to call for the approval of the June 2nd, 2025 meeting minutes. Is there a motion? Okay, seeing Edna, is there a second? Molly, thank you. I am going to assume unanimous consent and move on to agenda item number one. Agenda item number one is the public comment period of our agenda. This is the part of the agenda in which the public may comment on anything that is not on our agenda. Glancing at our registration list, we have none. And so I'm going to move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Does anyone have anything to disclose or recuse? Seeing none, I will move on. So it is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all of the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation. And then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of regular course of business. The following items are proposed for the consent agenda. That's agenda item number two, Legistar file 88408, 413 South Brearley Street. Agenda item number three, Legistar file 88409, 1717 Kendall Avenue. And then agenda item number four, Legistar file 88410, 2113 Kendall Avenue. Do any commissioners request separation of a project? Seeing none, do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
I'll move.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. Okay, all of those passed. Thank you everyone who came out to watch us quickly go through your agenda item. And we will move on to agenda item number five, new business, amending sections of chapter 41 and associated references in chapter 1, 28 and 31. Heather, am I handing this over to you?
Yes. So I'm not going to do a separate presentation. This is essentially what we talked about at our in-person meeting for amendments to mostly the Historic Preservation Ordinance, but the other parts of the Madison General Ordinances that would have changes are things where we're changing it from Certificate of Appropriateness to Certificate of Approval, and that's mentioned in a couple of other different sections of the MGO, and so that would be changed. Otherwise, all of the other changes are within Madison General Ordinances. There's a staff memo that goes into detail of like why we're doing this. Some of it is dealing with some archaic language that just isn't the way we talk about things now. Some of it, though, is now that we've had a couple of years with the Historic District Ordinance, there are some areas where we wanted to make some tweaks to help ease along mostly the administrative approvals. The one other portion that I would highlight is the computation of time. The way the ordinance was written up when we did the part one of the Landmarks Ordinance Review Committee was the public wanted more time for public notice. Most planning bodies have 10 days for 10 days for public notice. And so we did too. And the request was for more, but the question was, how do we go about more? So for the sections that talk about the periods for public notice, they all talk about 10 days. But then there was this section up at the beginning, I think it was section 41.02, that was about computation of time, to let you know for any measurements of time less than 14 days, and again, they were all 10 days, so at less than 14 days, then you didn't count holidays or weekends, which then made the, like, how many days ahead, it made it difficult to calculate. So it was hard for people to track exactly how long until they should have gotten a public notice. And so rather than having this super secret rule for extra time, if what we intended was extra time, why don't we just make it extra time? So since we were intending to have things like, well, not have the weekends count, then why don't we just say 14 days for the 2-week time period instead of just counting business days? So, which, you know, gets you to attend. Why don't we just count all 7 days, make it 14 days, and then there it is. So that's the way we changed the wording. We got rid of the section on computation of time, edited out the portions where it was just talking about the ways that we don't count weekends or holidays, and just made it for that we're just counting days of the week. And then all the other sections that had said 10 days, we changed that to 14. So we built in the additional notification time. So you have we didn't do a red line version this time around from our, like we did a month ago at our in-person meeting, but you have the drafter's analysis from the city attorney's office at the beginning of the legislation. You have the text itself, and then there was the staff memo that I provided to talk through more detail on that. Commissioner Taylor, I see that you have your hand up.
Hello, Dr. Bailey. Just one quick question for you.
Sure.
And was there any feedback from the public about the change of the, the change of the language that we talked about in that meeting, like Indigenous? And did you hear anything from the public? Was there any feedback?
Haven't received any additional feedback beyond what we received at the in-person meeting, where one person was advocating for us keeping the term master for master architect, designer, or builder. And with our discussion there at the in-person meeting, we talked about that isn't a standardized term used in those professions. It is in some professions, you know, there's a journeyman, there's a master, but not for those professions. And that the whole reason why we've got a long definition currently in the ordinance is because it's not a term that people use. So the language is still to remove that definition of master, and then at any point in the ordinance where the term master is used, just to talk about like architect or designer of note, because we mean somebody that is somewhat famous and known in their profession for being particularly skilled.
When we make these sorts of changes, just for the record, when we do make these changes, Do you send out a copy? Who gets the master who gets the final copy and that sort of thing? You know, was it ever a time where when those changes were made, a copy went to this body at all? Made and stuff like that?
Sure. So anytime we make changes that affect the historic preservation ordinance, by we, I mean like the city, that there's changes to the historic preservation ordinance, the legislation is introduced at Common Council, and then Common Council will refer it to the Landmarks Commission. So anytime we've done work on the ordinance, it comes to Landmarks Commission. So for tonight, your motion would be, you're not an approving entity, you are providing a recommendation to Common Council. So for tonight's meeting, you would make a recommendation to Common Council either that they adopt the changes as proposed, that they adopt the changes with the proposed amendments, if you've got something that you think needs to change, or that you recommend denying the proposed changes to the ordinance. Now, in terms of like other parts of the process, so after this, this will go to Common Council actually tomorrow night. And so they will consider and decide what to do there. We will also send the updated ordinance to the, pardon, I didn't get an extra drink because I never need it. Here I am tonight. We will send a copy of the ordinance to the State Historic Preservation Office because that is something that is required by local governments as part of state statute. But otherwise, this we don't print out the ordinance. It just it lives online. It's digital. We will also make amendments to our illustrated design guidelines because the illustrated design guidelines are illustrations to illustrate what is in the ordinance. So we'll need to update the text in that. So you'll see that at a future meeting for a Landmarks Commission amending that document so that it matches what the actual standards of approval are now. Does that answer your questions?
Any other questions for Heather? Seeing none, I'm either looking for discussion or a motion to Heather, you gave us the correct language and I am now totally blanking on what.
No worries. You are making a recommendation to the Common Council. So the staff's recommendation is that someone makes a motion to recommend approval of the proposed text amendments to the Common Council.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Now that you've framed it.
what Heather said.
And we have a second, so I'm going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. Okay, seeing none. We have no demolitions, so I'm looking for a motion for adjournment.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Second.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of your June.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.